Today's reading is from the book of Proverbs. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. The righteous lead blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them. The greedy bring ruin to their households, but the one who hates bribes will live. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but the mocker does not respond to rebukes. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gives you birth be joyful. Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, instruct us and correct us. I pray that you would do that for each of us now, Lord.
Show us.
As you've heard, there's quite a few verses on that, and this is only a small selection. I mean, but it has to be, right? Because family is so important for many of us. The culture, I don't know, we saw a movie a few days ago. What was it about? Well, Skyscraper, Dwayne Johnson. Just a silly action movie. But if you'd ask, okay, what is the positive message of this movie? Well, you would do everything for your family, right? You do everything to save your family. Family matters, and Hong Kongers, I think, get that. We may not jump from cranes into burning buildings. We don't do that. But think about education. How much do you think the average child, how much the parents spend for a child on education over their lifetime here in Hong Kong? And how does that rank in the world? Well, you will not be surprised that Hong Kong is number one. This is U.S. dollars a few years ago, but basically over a million. The average parent, they spend about $1 million per child, and that is including a lot of children, very poor, nothing, can you imagine? And it's like 8 times what people spend in France on their children's education. We love our children, we love family. And Proverbs will affirm that. Yeah, family is important. It's good to do it right. At the same time, maybe some of you here, you're listening and you are, you're single, or your children are already grown up. Don't log off. There's things we all need to hear. We're all children. We're all ex-children, right? Grown-up children. And actually, family, it's not everything. There is a bigger family in the Bible that I hope we're all part of as Christians. But what does Proverbs say? And Proverbs, it's pretty down to earth. It's very practical. It doesn't talk about how much fun children are to be with. It doesn't really talk about, God's purpose, be fruitful and multiply. It's just very down to earth. And, well, why do families matter? Well, they have a huge impact. Families have a huge impact. And why? Well, because our shared life impacts our children. You know, we are not individuals. We don't live on an island on our own. You know, we affect the people around us in a family. You spend so much time together, it's going to affect you, especially parents affecting their children. Look at some of those first verses we read. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. And the righteously blameless lives, blessed are their children after them. The greedy bring ruin to their households, but the one who hates bribes will live. But you can hear it, right? You know, someone who fears the Lord, it affects their children. Someone who's greedy, it affects their household, right? If I waste all our money on something, then it's going to affect my wife and children, right? Families affect each other. The kind of person I am, that affects my children, my wife a lot. Families have a huge impact. And then you add to that something else that the Bible says, namely that, well, your childhood affects your whole life. Your childhood affects your whole life. I guess that's this verse, right? We all know it. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they won't depart from it. Now, people take that as a great promise, right? If you raise children rightly, they will stay like that the rest of their life. I think it's probably just an observation of human nature, right? What you learn as a child, well, that's what you're going to be like the rest of your life. I don't know if you've thought about that if you're a child. A lot of things you learn now, habits, they will stay with you. And yeah, if children go this way, they will stay that way. Children go that way, they will stay that way, right? Good values, stay with them. Bad values, stay with them. You put those two things together, right? Families have they impact the children, and that stays with them their whole life. Well, our childhood shapes us so much. And that's not just something for parents and children now, right? For each of us, you've been shaped by your childhood. Right? Proverbs is not just about what we should do. It's partly about understanding human nature, right? Kings should understand their subjects. Well, you want to understand people, their childhood has a huge impact. We talked about that a moment ago in the training course. You know, to understand other people, well, look what background they're from. I mean, looking at myself, you know, I've lived for 19 years in the UK and Hong Kong. For more than 18 years, I've been married to a Korean, and yet you meet me, I'm still very Dutch, right? The way I think, my values, the way I speak, what I think is important, it's very much just a Dutchman, right? Even my kids, right? A few years ago, one of them, I was talking to them, and they said, "You sound just like Grandpa." I mean, it's not that I was trying. I mean, my dad is a good man, but I wasn't trying to imitate him. That was just, yeah, my childhood has a huge impact. And yeah, I can see that in my marriage, because my wife is Korean, and so we think very differently about lots of things. And it causes conflict. But the problem is, we can't just switch that off. It would be nice if we just, okay, we're going to be punctual, and we just switch that. You know, even when you're old, you won't depart from it. And we need to bear with each other, and have patience with each other. So whoever you are, I don't know, maybe here in church, maybe at work, you know, you are affected by your childhood. The people around you are affected. And so, yeah, bear with one another, right? Have sympathy. It's something that's for all of us. Our childhood affects us a lot. But then, yeah, there is a big implication for parents, right? What should you do? Well, in that case, you should, well, raise wise children. If the childhood has a big impact on the rest of their life, well, try to raise wise children. Take it seriously. I guess taking it seriously, maybe that's not something all of us need to hear. Some people, yeah, they neglect children. They focus on their career or money. Most of us, we love our children, and we do everything for them, and we sacrifice everything for them. Maybe actually even too much, right? Some of us, we should raise our children, but we shouldn't neglect everything else. That's the thing. You hear a talk like this, oh yeah, children, but next week is marriage. And 2 weeks ago was friendship, right? And we need to do all those things. And it's very, I know, some people, they neglect their marriage for the sake of their children. That might maybe not be a good thing, right? Well, next week. That's the problem with the Christian life, right? It can feel like spinning plates. We know we have to, yeah, raise your children, but your marriage and your neighbors and friends and evangelism and church. We have a lot of responsibilities. We should do all of them. We can't neglect them. But, yeah, take it seriously. But then you take it seriously. What is your goal? What should be your goal for your children? Because that's where Proverbs has a lot to say. I mean, in Hong Kong, what is the goal for our children? Well, many Hong Kong parents, it is their education, right? That's what we spend $1 million on, children's education, or maybe developing their artistic talents, those kind of things. And that is really useful, right? Because, you know, a good education leads to a good job. Good job, you know, you have money. And as we heard last week, money is important. The only thing is that the Bible doesn't say very much about it, right? What is goals for children in Proverbs? Well, it's wisdom, right? You want children who are wise, who fear the Lord. That is what you want, right? Look at some of these verses. What do people want? Well, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. Right? The joy here is a wise child who fears the Lord, a righteous child. It's not, the child with a good job brings joy to his father, but the child with poor grades is a grief to his mother. No. Wisdom, fearing the Lord. After all, that's ultimately what matters, right? We've seen in Proverbs, wisdom brings life, folly brings death. Ultimately, this is God's world. We're all going to stand before God. And what we need is wisdom. I mean, this verse puts it so clearly. Some from Proverbs, wealth is worthless on the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Ultimately, the good education, the good job, all the money we have, it's going to be worthless when we stand before God. And then the only thing that matters is, well, righteousness. Are we right with him? So as parents, that's what we want for our children. You know, children, that's what you need. You need to, well, be right with God. And everything else, in the end, doesn't matter. So as parents, are we, you know, is that our goal? The choices we make in education, the choices we make for our life, is this our priority? And it's not always easy because many of us, well, we work very hard to pay for all this education and then we have no time with our kids to actually bring them up in the fear of the Lord. Right? Some of those decisions, should you send your child abroad to boarding school? Good for their education, but you're going to have a lot less influence in their life. Is that a good thing? And that's difficult, right? You need to weigh that up. I mean, there isn't a right and wrong answer. It's a wisdom issue. And sometimes you don't even have a choice. Like maybe you're here from the Philippine Fellowship and your children are in the Philippines and you are here and you'd love to be with them. But if you'd be with them, well, you're unemployed and you have no money and you starve and it's better to be here. It's not easy. But yeah, what is your goal? What is your goal for your children? Well, just ask your children maybe. Hey, be honest. What do you think I would value the most? With children, that's our goal. And it matters. And, you know, of course, it's never too late. Of course, things can change in the future. I mean, I became a Christian age 25. But isn't it much better if we start children off well? Right? So that they don't depart from it. It's not going to get easier being a Christian. There's going to be a lot less freedom here in Hong Kong, a lot less freedom in the West. It's harder to be a Christian. Isn't it great if children have this solid foundation, these deep roots that they won't depart from, rather than hoping that, when they're 40, hopefully they'll turn around. But then, okay, how do we do that? How do we raise wise children? And that's a huge topic, and that's not something I can just tell you in a sermon. That is where, well, we need the church. We used to do these parenting seminars in the past, parents getting together, talking about different topics. That's so helpful, where we can learn from each other. Yeah, where, because it's complex, it's not one size fits all. But let me talk about some of the theory, at least. What are the big ingredients? And the Bible says, well, two things. Yeah? First from Proverbs, a rod and a reprimand impart wisdom. Or in the New Testament language, fathers, do not exasperate your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So discipline, training, and then, well, instruction, communication. Which can include rebuking, those kind of things. Those two things, instruction, discipline. Let me start with instruction. Actually, that's much bigger in Proverbs than discipline, I think. I mean, so much. I mean, the first 9 chapters, what is the whole format? The whole format is a king talking to his son, and my son, listen to my instruction, listen to my teaching. Right? Yes, there are verses about, you know, discipline, but communication, ideally, that's the thing that surrounds it. And discipline finds its place in a lot of communication, a lot of talking. And that talking, well, I guess it should include the Bible, because, you know, Bible time. Where are people going to learn about God, about the Lord? Well, from his word. So I hope, you know, if you're a parent, you spend time with your children doing this. Children, your parents want this for you. They want you to know Jesus, so you love him and you're right with God. But actually, it should be more than just a few minutes of Bible time. Actually, wisdom and instruction in Proverbs, it's such so much an all-of-life thing, right? You get the idea of just daily life and constant talking, right? The king says, hey, look at these ants. Hey, come here. See how hard they work. That's a good lesson for you. Or, did you see that guy on the street? And he went into that house. He's got no sense. Right? So much of it is just you talk about God in daily life. And that's how you impart wisdom. As things come up, not just, you know, in Bible time. That's something we don't always do. That means a lot of time with children, right? You know, as you spend time together, that's when these things go up. And that's how you show that God's word is relevant to all of life, right? As you go through life with it and you apply it to life. That's what you want. And it's a great thing. But again, that's what we should do. And children, I hope you value this, right? You know, parents will probably want to read the Bible with you, and maybe it's boring. But, you know, if you want to be wise as a child, well, listen, right? A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not respond to rebukes. Or chapter 23, listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she's old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. Instruction. But then the second thing mentioned, discipline. Right? What is discipline? Well, it's training to obey. How do you train someone to obey? Well, through, well, rewards and punishment, through negative consequences for sin, for disobedience. And I don't know, I think in Asia people get that. Certainly in the West, though, that's not very common. People tend to frown on discipline, that, you know, just leave these children alone. Physical punishments can be forbidden in many countries. But the results, I'm sure, children are not very well behaved, right? People think that children think everything goes because, hey, there's no consequences. My mom, she used to be a teacher before she became a mom herself, and then later she went back into teaching, like 20 years later. And in a way, she liked it, but after a few years, she quit because these children, modern children, they're so disrespectful and such bad behavior. She just could see how much children had changed. In the UK, some of the TV shows we used to watch, Super Nanny, World's Strictest Parents, they were great because here was some terrible child who really had such poor behavior. Yeah, you put them with people who actually discipline them, and they change. And actually, it's good. Now, why is it good? Well, it depends on your view of human nature, right? In the West, well, children, they are good. And then just leave them alone and they'll do good by themselves. But that's not the Bible's view. What does the Bible say? Well, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away. Our hearts, they're rotten. Our hearts are full of sin, they're full of folly, and that needs to go. And the problem with sin in life is often that there's no consequences, right? I tell a lie and nothing happens. And I learn from that. I learn, oh, it's okay to lie, right? It's okay to sin. Because there's no punishment straight away. Well, I learned to sin. And when I learned to sin as a child, well, that will stay with me my whole life. Now, that's why parents need to bring negative consequences. Because ultimately, there are consequences. Ultimately, we will all stand before God. Ultimately, sin does matter. Ultimately, sin will be punished. And so one of the biggest lessons we need to learn is that sin matters. And we learn that, well, through negative consequences, through punishment. But I hope you see that's a good thing, right? It's, you know, some people think discipline, it's bad because children don't like it. But it's good. Look at these verses. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with the rod, they will not die. Punish them with the rod and save them from death. Right? Ultimately, they're not going to die. Instead, you're trying to save them from dying later. Yeah? Some harm now, maybe. something painful now, but it's good for later. I don't know. Here's our children, they got into aqua beads recently. These kind of little beads that you can put together and you spray water on them and then, they stick together, arts or crafts. Now, I read the instructions, and these things, they have a bittering agent. They taste extremely bitter. If you put them in your mouth, a child wants to get rid of it. It's not poisonous or anything. It just, it tastes terrible. But that's a protective thing, right? It means that they're not going to swallow all of them. Because it's something, it's unpleasant now. But it means it saves you from bigger consequences later. That's the idea. All right, so discipline, it's a good thing. It's a loving thing, right? Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. I hope that makes sense. Children, again, maybe you don't like discipline. And discipline isn't easy. I find it one of the hardest things to do because every child is different and every situation is different and children are growing up. And I'm a sinner and that comes into it and that's why we need wisdom and why we need to learn from each other. But it's a good thing to do. And if we neglect it, well, it's going to have painful consequences later. So that's something we need to do. But is this the recipe for perfect children? If you just discipline them and instruct them, then everything will turn out all right and you'll have great kids who walk with the Lord. Well, if you read the rest of the Bible, I fear that the answer is no. Solomon was the wisest king. His son was a great fool. And you read the Old Testament and it's generation after generation of people who forget the Lord. And it's not just the parents' fault. Because in Israel, God is in a way the parent to Israel, and he's the perfect parent. He gave them instruction. He gave them Torah, the law. They had his words perfectly. And he disciplined them, right? If they sinned, he would send a foreign army or something. And if they obeyed, they would be blessed with lots of crops and everything. God disciplined them. But did that really help? Was Israel such a beautiful nation? Well, we saw it in Ezekiel, right? They got exiled. It didn't work. Now, folly in our hearts goes so deep. It doesn't go away. We need new hearts, the Bible says. Actually, it's not just discipline and instruction. We need change on the inside. So certainly as parents, alongside these things, pray your heart out, right? Pray and share the gospel, because that's what's going to change people, change your children. It's ultimately God needs to do a work. God needs to give us a new heart. God needs to give us, well, we need to be born again, a new birth. That's how radical it is. You're born again. You start all over again. But with being born again, well, you are born into a family. And as we go to the New Testament, actually, we are, well, we have not just a new birth, but we have a new family. The Bible talks about church family. And you read the New Testament, and yeah, there isn't much about raising children. All those parenting books, it's full of Proverbs and Deuteronomy. It's very little about from the New Testament, because it doesn't seem to have much focus there. And some of that is, well, yeah, the people of God are different. Right? The people, you know, in the Old Testament, everything was about family, because the nation of Israel, they were families. And, you know, how did you get more Israelites? Well, babies. That's how you get more Israelites. New Testament, well, it's people who believe in Jesus. That's the people of God. And so how do you get more Christians? Well, through evangelism. Right? The people of God, they're very different. It's the people who believe in Jesus who are the church. Right? So I hope you, maybe that explains why there isn't much about parenting in the New Testament. It's so much more about the church. And yeah, it's a great alternative family. I mean, in the Old Testament, if you were a woman and you were not married or you didn't have children, terrible shame. You were really nothing. And yet in the church, you know, you can be a single woman, an elderly single woman, and you have a family. You have everything, right? That is God's plan, that we are family as a church. But what does God want then? If we take Proverbs and say, okay, church is supposed to be family, well, sharing life should impact us. God wants a family that shares life and that impacts us. As we are together, as we are family together, we will grow. And, you know, mature Christians, their life and their wisdom will affect younger Christians. And someone becomes a Christian and they're taken into the church and, you know, we share life and they get discipled and they grow up and they become mature and they will not depart from that. When they go to another church and those kind of things, right? Or when they move. That is God's plan, that we are a family that impacts each other. Which does mean, yeah, we need more church family time. How are we going to impact each other if we don't have time? And that is, I think that's an issue. I mean, certainly with the virus and everything, that's difficult. But even before the virus, I think many of us would say, well, church isn't much like family. My life doesn't really impact anyone else. Yeah, no wonder. We just talk for 5 minutes after the service and then we don't see each other the rest of the week. No wonder. Right? Families take time. I mean, you don't spend 5 minutes per week with your biological family. Well, we shouldn't spend time like that with our church family. One of our strap lines is a church sharing our lives. That's what we want to do. And Proverbs says, yeah, that's what you should do. That's how we grow. And that's when older women teach younger women and all those. And that is how the church grows, and how we become mature and become the people, the wise people God wants us to be. But that's not easy. And ironically, it's often biological family that gets in the way. Or that for some people, okay, I can't spend time for church because, you know, I need to spend time with my family. I need to spend time with my children, so I can't come to the men's group and to small group and those kind of things. Now, and that's very understandable, right? Because we should take raising our children seriously. But I don't think that's exactly God's plan. There shouldn't be a competition. Now, it's not that the nuclear family, it's no longer important in the New Testament. No, I think they get integrated. And so we should do church as a family, ideally, right? Church is not something that I have to choose between my children and my church. Actually, together with my children, we do church and we do family. That's the idea. And then there's no competition. You know, some links group, they have families, and the children come along, and in a way that's great, and there's no competition, and that's really good. It's actually, if you think about it, that's better than just, you know, a small nuclear family. I mean, it's good for the children. You know, children, they learn from, they're impacted by others, right? Wouldn't it be great if they were not just impacted by two parents, but by a lot of people? You know, by older children who are walking with Jesus, by other adults. You ask Rhoda, you know, what things have big impact on children's faith? Well, knowing other people outside just the parents who are Christians and have an impact on them. It's good for the children. As people say, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it takes a church to raise a child. And actually, if I'm honest, it's good for the parents. Good for the parents. Because parenting is really hard, right? It's a lot of work. And why is it a lot of work? Often, well, because we try to do everything ourselves. We have this idea of the, you know, father and mother and two kids, and that's it. Well, there was a good article in The Atlantic recently. That's a big mistake. We're not supposed to do that. You know, we need a bigger family. I mean, how could people have like 10 kids in the Old Testament easily? Well, they had uncles and aunties and just a bigger family, and that shares the load. And, you know, it's only kind of very wealthy families who can pull that off, the nuclear family. Most families, poor families, they can't. And so wouldn't it be great if we have a family that where we can, you know, where parents are just part of something larger? It's very good for the parents. And as we heard, it's good for those who don't have a family, right? Some people, they're single. And if all the families just stay with each other, they will never be with other children. They will, you know, they'll be left alone. We don't want that. We want to be a big family together. Different life stages. And that's what we want. But yeah, let's do that. Let's share life. Let's be the church. Let's be, well, God's family, right? Because we know the church is where it's at. How do we know that? Well, people give up everything for their children. What did God give up for us? Well, he gave his son. And that's how much he cared about our family, how much he cared about the church. Let's share that concern. Let's share life together as families, as singles. Let's impact each other and change the world. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the church. Thank you for us not being on our own. Thank you for families, parents and children who you've put together to grow together, to learn wisdom. And pray that we would do that, Father. Help us to see the importance of our community, of family, and would it change us, and through us would you change this place where we live. In Jesus' name, amen.